Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Hello, and welcome to Dining with Death. This episode is on my playlist, Dining with the Disappeared, where we talk about people who have vanished. We talk a little bit about their lives and the circumstances surrounding their disappearance. I've made a commitment to some of you to be better about promoting the channel. And so if you would like to support me, please like the video and subscribe to my channel. It really does help. The other thing you can do is join my Patreon. The end goal there is to raise money to donate to police departments who have cold case DNA in storage that cannot be tested because there is no money to test it. We want to help with that. If you can only donate a dollar or two a month, hey, that's great. I just appreciate the support and I appreciate the fact that you're here. And with that, I'm Stacey Lee. Let's begin. This is a very infamous case for several reasons. It's a terrifying story, it's a parent's worst nightmare, and it's a story that forever changed the missing children's alert system in America. Johnny Gosch vanished in the early 1980s, and he became the first ever milk carton kid. This might surprise a lot of you, but the current generation of teenagers and even people in their early 20s do not remember what milk carton kids were. From 1984 to 2013, dairies would print on their cardboard milk cartons the pictures, the faces of people that were missing, children specifically. They would print their date of birth, they would print the date they went missing, and from where. Obviously in hopes of getting their name and their face out there in case someone saw them. And they became known as milk carton kids. Now, most of you watching know this, but I'm telling you, the younger kids, they don't know. This story is what started it all. Johnny Gosch was my age then when he disappeared on September 5th, 1982. We were both 12 years old at the time. Johnny lived in Des Moines, Iowa, and he made money by delivering newspapers. It seems difficult to imagine a time in America where you'd send a 12-year-old kid out at 4:30 in the morning alone to wander the neighborhood delivering newspapers, but that is, in fact, the way I was raised. A lot of the boys in my town had paper routes, and they'd go out every day before the sun was up to make their deliveries. On the day of his disappearance, Johnny left his home on foot to deliver newspapers on his paper route, just as he had done many times before. September 5th, 1982 was a Sunday, and the Sunday paper is much larger than other daily papers, so Johnny took his bags and his wagon and he prepared to make his rounds. At about 7:45 that morning, calls began coming into the Gosch home from customers complaining that they hadn't received their Sunday paper. John Gosch, Johnny's father, then got in his car and began driving the route his son would walk on his delivery path. As he drove, he came upon the red wagon that Johnny used to haul the papers around in. The wagon was just sitting on the sidewalk several blocks from the Gosch home. It's this wagon right here. The Gosch family has hung onto it all these years. When John saw the wagon, it was still full of newspapers and Johnny was nowhere to be found. After John did a cursory search of the neighborhood, he informed his wife, Noreen, that he couldn't find Johnny. The police were called and the Goshes were shocked to learn that they could not report their son missing for 72 hours. Can you imagine? You call the police and say, my 12-year-old has vanished. And they tell you, you have to wait 72 hours before we'll do anything. The 80s, it was a different time and a different place, and we got a lot of things wrong. Soon, the entire neighborhood was aware that Johnny was missing, and people began to help look for him. Very early on, some other paper boys came forward and told Noreen and John Gosch that they had seen Johnny talking to a man in a blue car before he disappeared. The boys were gathered around, folding their papers and loading them into their bags together. They said this car was a blue Ford Fairlane and that the man inside opened his door and swung his feet out of the car and put them on the pavement and then sat there talking with the boys, asking for directions. Johnny gave the man directions and then began to walk away. The other paperboys then claim they saw this man flick his dome light three times, perhaps signaling to someone else to follow Johnny. That is the single, solitary, only clue police have ever had to go on. For days, and then weeks, and then months, and then years, Johnny's family searched, and they hoped, and they waited. His parents got involved in politics and began lobbying the legislature to change the laws regarding missing kids, to do away with the waiting period for police involvement, and they were successful. They passed the Johnny Gosch Law, which allows immediate police involvement when a child goes missing. 2 years went by without any type of lead. Johnny had vanished like a puff of smoke, and then it happened again. On August 12, 1984, 13-year-old Eugene Martin, who went by Gene, vanished while delivering papers on his Des Moines paper route. That's a separate story and one I'm going to cover, but when this happened, someone at Anderson Erickson Dairy had the idea to put the two boys' faces on the side of their milk cartons to raise awareness that the boys were gone. This dairy wanted to keep the boys' faces fresh in people's minds. There was no internet, no way to pull up a photo of the boys anytime you wanted, so this was a good way of keeping their faces out there. This is a photo of the actual milk carton that went out to all of the dairy's customers. After this, the dairy continued on, working with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children by printing missing kids' faces on its milk cartons, and soon, many other dairies followed suit. Sadly, nothing anyone did helped to find Johnny Gosch. His parents' lives fell apart, they grieved and they grew apart, and they divorced in 1993, 11 years after their son went missing. Now, this is where my memory of this case begins. I did not know about Johnny Gosch when I was a kid. I didn't hear anything about that. But in the 90s, the early 90s, when I was 21, 22 years old, I really started to get into true crime. And this is one of the first cases I remember hearing about. First, I learned the story of the disappearance that had happened years earlier. And then I learned about the claims that Johnny's mother was making. And it was a very controversial issue. And it made great fodder for the daytime talk shows. A few years after his disappearance, Johnny's mother, Noreen, received a strange visit from a man who claimed to have been involved in Johnny's abduction. The man, who was never identified, provided Noreen with some details about Johnny's disappearance that had not been disclosed to the public. However, this man's identity and the veracity of his claims have never been confirmed. Over the years, numerous theories have been put forward about what may have happened to Johnny. Some have suggested that he may have been abducted by a pedophile ring or a human trafficking ring. Others have speculated that he may have been taken by individuals associated with the CIA as part of a larger conspiracy theory about government involvement in child abductions. The government can't even run itself. They don't want to take care of your kids. In 1985, someone found a dollar bill in circulation on which someone had written, "I'm alive, Johnny Gosch." Then in 1986, 14-year-old Mark Allen, another paperboy, disappeared on his paper route again in Des Moines. In 1988, the Goshes received a letter that they believed was written by Johnny. The letter was turned over to the police, and the contents have never been divulged to the public. Noreen became convinced that Johnny was abducted and sold into a sex trafficking ring. John believes that yes, Johnny was abducted, but never shared his ex-wife's belief about the trafficking. In 1991, a prisoner, a man named Paul Bonacci, told his cellmate in a Nebraska prison that he had helped kidnap Johnny Gosch. Paul later even told his attorney the same thing, and the claims were investigated, but no new information was ever released to the public about this. In 1992, 10 years after Johnny vanished, America's Most Wanted aired an episode about the story, and it really helped to renew people's interest in the cold case. Then, in this already strange and disturbing story, the most strange and disturbing event took place. I distinctly remember the news that came out on the day that this happened. And I'm not even going to lie. I rolled my eyes. I was just like, what? I just felt like there is no way. There is no way that happened. And now I'm not so sure. In March of 1997, while at home in bed, Noreen Gosh heard a knock at the door around 2:30 a.m. She opened her front door to see a strange man standing there with a younger man who said he was her son, Johnny. He said he was 27 years old, and he even unbuttoned his shirt to show his mother a birthmark to prove it was him. The two men came inside the house, and Noreen claims they stayed for an hour. Noreen says she was in shock, and she could see that the man claiming to be Johnny was very nervous, constantly looking at the other man before he spoke, as if for his approval. Now, not only I had a hard time with this story, but a lot of other people did as well. First off, Noreen didn't call the police. Second, she let her son leave. Now, none of us ever know how we would act in a situation like this, but Noreen claims that the information she was given in this meeting pretty much guaranteed that if she didn't do as she was told, both she and Johnny would be killed. Maybe that's the case, but it was very, very difficult for people to swallow this story, and it's still a very difficult story to believe. I've really tried to put myself in Noreen's shoes, and I don't know what was said that night, so that's tough to do. But I envision me holding on to my kid's foot and getting dragged off my front porch before I'm letting them leave again. I don't know. Apparently in this meeting, Johnny told his mother that yes, he was part of what he called a group, and that if she told anyone he'd come to see her, they would kill him and they would kill her. John, Johnny's father, who remember was divorced from Noreen in 1997 when this happened, did not believe the story, and neither did the police. But then something happened almost a decade later that made them doubt those beliefs. In 2006, Noreen Gosh found an envelope on her front step, and inside the envelope were photographs, lots of photographs. There was one particular photograph of three boys who were each bound, tied up, and one of them looked like Johnny. Now, I never know what I can show here and what I can't, because in one video I show something and it's fine, and the next time I show something almost identical and I get a strike. So I'm going to put this photo up and I'm going to blur it. So if you want to see the unedited photo, all you have to do is Google Noreen Gosh photo 2006. That will bring the photo right up. No one is dead in this photo. No one is even hurt, but they are bound. On the left appears a boy some people believe disappeared from Seattle. In the center, there is a boy some believe is David Leonard Johnson, who vanished from Linwood, Washington. And on the right is a boy many people believe is Johnny Gosh. Very quickly, the photo circulated, and very quickly, people chose sides. They either believed that Johnny was in the photo or were adamant that the boy on the right is not Johnny. There was even a cop who came forward and said that the photo of the three boys is from a case he worked in Florida and has nothing to do with Johnny Gosh, that someone is just being incredibly cruel to this family. The delivery of the photos to Noreen's doorstep in 2006 is the last major event that has occurred in this case. Noreen and John have remarried and tried to move on with their lives, but as Noreen has stated, things were never the same for them again. This case has remained open for decades, and in 2018, the West Des Moines Police Department announced that they will be launching a new investigation into Johnny's disappearance. The department created a new tip line and called on the public to come forward with any information or leads related to the abduction. After 40 years, there are still officers dedicated to finding out what happened to this paper boy so long ago. Today, Johnny Gosh would be my age, 52, and these are age-progressed photos of what he would look like if he is still out there somewhere. If you think you know anything at all that might be of help, please contact the Division of Criminal Investigations Missing Person Tip Line at 515-725-6036. You can remain anonymous. Wouldn't it be wonderful if after all these years, someone out there could bring some closure to Johnny's family and some answers to all of those who have worked the case for half their lives? Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, Dining with the Disappeared. Again, hit that like button and subscribe to the channel if you want to see more from me. I really, truly appreciate your support more than I will ever be able to say. Stay safe, my friends, and be kind to each other. And I'll see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.